All right, here we are, another Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode. Brian Peacock here from Locked On 49ers. I am with Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks. A big-time matchup coming up Monday Night Football, 49ers-Seahawks in Week 10. Niners coming in at a perfect 8-0. The Seahawks 7-2, coming off an overtime victory. I think one of the big storylines here, Corbin, is the injury reports. And the 49ers had a big loss in Quan Alexander, weak side linebacker, torn pectoral. He's done for the year. But they're getting a bunch of reserves back. It's almost a secondary trade deadline for the 49ers, getting both starting offensive tackles, left tackle Joe Staley, right tackle Mike McGlinchey back, and fullback Kyle Juszczyk. So that should be a huge boost to the run game. Corbin, how are things looking on the injury front for the Seattle Seahawks coming off that big win against the Buccaneers?
So they don't have any serious injuries coming out of this game, thank goodness. They lost Justin Britt a couple weeks ago. Joey Hunt came in and played really well. He held up well against a really stout front line for the Buccaneers. So I think the Seahawks are in decent hands with their backup center, and there's a good chance they will finally get Quandre Diggs on the field. They traded for him a couple weeks ago with the Lions, and he was dealing with a hamstring injury when they made the trade. They've been slowly working him back. It sounds like he has a chance to play in this game on Monday night. So they don't have quite as many reinforcements coming back. Ed Dixon could also be back there, tight end, and that would be huge with Will Disley out for the season. Getting him back with Jacob Hollister and Luke Wilson, they're looking to bring him off injured reserve this week. So you could have a couple guys back on both sides of the football, not the same big names as the 49ers, but the Seahawks do have a certain wide receiver that may have a chance to play on Monday night that maybe has a chance to make a big impact.
Yeah, some new additions making appearances for both of these teams. 49ers traded for Emmanuel Sanders at wide receiver, making an immediate impact, and was the first wide receiver to out-target George Kittle last week. So he's been involved in immediate rapport with Jimmy Garoppolo, which has been really exciting for 49ers fans to see. And look, DK Metcalf, what is he, 6'3", 6'4", 227 pounds or whatever, just a physical.
Yeah, that's what they list him. Being in the locker room and interviewing him, asking him questions, and I've been next to the offensive line too, I'd say he's more 6'4", 240.
Wow.
I mean, he is okay. A big dude. And he can fly.
And
he can flat out fly.
Right. And there's not many guys that would out physically impose Josh Gordon, but he might be one of the few wide receivers in the league that could do that. Tyler Lockett, a completely different beast in the slot, but now you've got that other monster on the outside. Just real quick with Josh Gordon before we talk specific matchups, how do you think the Seahawks are going to use Josh Gordon, and do you think he's going to see snaps this week?
So the Seahawks, their brain trust, John Schneider, general manager, as well as Coach Pete Carroll, they have done a really nice job here ever since they claimed him last Thursday of kind of putting their feet on the brakes a little bit with Josh Gordon. We know that his history indicates he hasn't been reliable. He hasn't been available. When he's been on the field, he's been pretty good. He was okay for the Patriots this year, but the film that I've watched didn't look like he had quite the same burst. Maybe he's been dealing with an injury most of the season. But the Seahawks are hoping that he's going to be able to come in and give them another deep vertical threat for Russell Wilson. I think he fits the Seahawks scheme a lot better than he did in New England with his skill set, his ability to catch passes over the middle, win those contested catch battles. That might be a big deal now that Will Disley's out. They've kind of missed that middle of the field presence. DK Metcalf is more of a downfield, let him go up and get the football. And obviously Josh Gordon can do that as well. But I think where Gordon could actually really help them is being out of the slot, functioning kind of like a tight end with that big body and his ability to make catches in the middle. That's the one thing I still was noticing in New England. He made several catches with heavy traffic around him, and I think that's going to be a big part of their offense if they can get him acclimated to their playbook. When you change teams in the middle of the season, that's what really makes Emmanuel Sanders' transition so remarkable here, going to a new team. He's come in and immediately made an impact. That doesn't always happen when players come in to new teams in the middle of the year. You got to learn a new playbook. You're learning a new quarterback if you're a receiver. And obviously Russell Wilson has a great track record working with multiple guys. It seems like he can just kind of pull people out of a hat and, oh, you're a decent receiver now, I'm going to throw you the football. But this is a guy that has incredible athletic ability, incredible physical skills. The big question is just going to come down to, is he going to be able to learn the playbook? And is he going to be able to stay on the field? Hopefully the Seahawks have a system in place, they believe they do, where they can be able to support him and he's going to be able to have success there. For right now, they have said they have no expectations. I anticipate he's going to get some snaps Monday night, though.
You got to at least have him in there for a few packages and use that physical ability when you
decoy. Use him as a decoy.
Exactly. When you add a guy like that, you have to respect that physical ability when you are a defense and you see him on the field. When it comes to Emmanuel Sanders, I think the thing for him and why it made so much sense for the 49ers is former Kyle Shanahan quarterback coach Rich Scangarello is the offensive coordinator in Denver. So terminology was the same and nearly an identical offense. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan runs a different offense than just about anybody. So it did take a little bit of an adjustment period, and he had to learn some things, and some things weren't exactly the same with the Denver offense. But I think that's what made that transition so lightning quick. And if you ask Emmanuel Sanders, he says, I'm in. I'm 100%. I know the offense. I'm done. I'm ready to go. And it looked like that on Thursday night because Jimmy Garoppolo was throwing balls to Emmanuel Sanders before he got out of his break, and Emmanuel Sanders looked like he was just ready for it. It was pretty amazing. So I've been very impressed with Emmanuel Sanders and his ability to jump in. One more thing real quick when it comes to Josh Gordon, I was surprised that he made it to the 28th spot on the waiver wire, and then learning that the Seahawks were the only team that claimed him, and you think about it for a second, you think, okay, the reliability factor there, and you mentioned it, and the Patriots were willing to not only let him go even though and put him on IR and then waive him from IR, even though his injury was only maybe a week or two away from being healed up and ready to get back on the field, but then they not only let go of Josh Gordon, but they trade a second rounder plus Josh Gordon to get Mohamed Sanu, who physically is an inferior player. So that's how much New England said, you know what, we would rather trade Gordon and a second round draft pick to get Mohamed Sanu, which seems like a huge loss for New England, but maybe there's more to it. So I wonder, every team staying away except for the Seahawks, there might be more to the story than we're hearing. Have you heard anything else?
That's something that I've speculated. I've done a little bit of digging around, and there hasn't been anything that's come up. I just got to wonder if it was a system issue more than anything. Some of the stuff that I was seeing, I don't even know that this is something Tom Brady was super happy about. I don't think that he necessarily liked losing Josh Gordon, but there had to be something going on. I can't put a finger on it, whether maybe he wasn't completely grasping the playbook, but he and Brady didn't look to be on the same page at times this year. And so I think the Patriots were like, you know what? He's not dominating out there on the field. And like I said a few moments ago, I've been a little concerned watching the film here about the lack of burst from him. This is a guy that's normally really explosive off the line of scrimmage, running his routes. And I haven't seen that. That's something that concerns me. And again, maybe he's been injured this entire time. He's been playing through an injury. It sounds like he's completely healthy now. He passed the physical. So the Seahawks just have to see what he looks like starting on Thursday when they return to practice. So right now, Pete Carroll, like he said, I don't really have any evaluation except previous film, and obviously an incredible talent. But I don't know what we're going to see Thursday when he comes in. So they're going to be playing this by day. Like I said, though, I still anticipate, even if it's just as a decoy, he's going to get some snaps on Monday night in this game.
Really unique player, not only because of who he is height, weight, speed-wise, and what he can do on the field, but his career path and, you know, missing so much time during his career to refine his craft. And when you're built so much on that physical ability and you haven't been able to refine your skills as much as you a normal player would at the age of 28, I think is where Josh Gordon is right now. That's interesting because you start to lose a step and it might affect someone like him a little bit more than another player who's had a chance to really be in a system and be more of a refined football player at this point. And speaking of a guy who's unrefined coming out, one more note on DK Metcalf before we get into specific matchups here. And I know your co-host on Locked On Seahawks is Rob Rang. And by the way, I was a subscriber to Rob Rang's draft service way back in the day when it was, I think, maybe one of maybe two online draft websites. It was called Boomer's Draft something. I can't remember even what it was called, but you know, Rob Boomerang is his nickname. And I'm wondering, and I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about it on your show, and I do this Shadow 49ers draft thing where when the 49ers are on the clock, I pick who I would have taken for the 49ers because I'm a big draft geek. And DK Metcalf was a slam dunk pick for me in the second round, even over Deebo Samuel, who I also liked, who was my third ranked wide receiver in that draft class. How did you guys feel about DK coming out? And it just seems like an absurd steal for him to be there at 64.
So Rob and I actually talked about this a bunch leading up to the draft. And I think both of us felt like, you know, there are some concerns there maybe with the route running, but the more film that I watched, it started to become apparent to me that I don't know if it's that he can't run them. I just don't think Ole Miss's coaching staff is asking him to do that. And you're starting to see it on the field for the Seahawks. He's beaten opponents with nasty double moves twice the last 2 weeks. So he's showing he's a much better route runner than advertised. And all that concern about his three-cone drill and stuff, you know what? It doesn't really matter in the scheme of things because the stuff he's really good at, even if you want to call him a one-trick pony, which I don't think he is, and Rob would agree with me on that, he's proving to be far more than that. But that one really good trick he's got is pretty darn difficult to stop when you've got a 240-pound, I don't care what he's listed at, I still think he's about 240. When you get a guy like that that can run down the field with 4.3 speed, and he can jump up and high point the football and have really reliable hands, he can battle through contact. The last catch that he had on Sunday against the Buccaneers in overtime, the defender, Jamel Dean, was pulling on his face mask on a back shoulder throw, and he still caught it. And so he's just proving that he's a much more refined, instinctive player than I think people realize. And when he dropped, I wasn't overly surprised about it. And then when the Seahawks moved up, I thought, okay, end of the second round, this has a chance to be a steal. I wasn't sure if he was a first rounder. Rob was kind of He was kind of unclear on where he was going to put him as well. He was kind of one of those could be a first, could be early second guys. Late second, though, that ends up being great value pick. And now it looks even better than anticipated.
Okay, more on DK Metcalf and that Seahawks offense versus the 49ers defense coming up. Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers here with Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, another Locked On Podcast Network Wednesday crossover. Looking at specific matchups here, the 49ers defense taking on that Seahawks offense, and obviously it's all Russell Wilson. He's the thing that makes that offense go, and seeing him throw up 5 touchdown passes last week and seeing DK Metcalf lead all rookies now in receiving yards makes you a little bit uneasy as a 49ers fan looking at this game with the way the 49ers haven't been able to, in the past, corral Russell Wilson. And it's always been Russell Wilson just getting out of that sack and making a big play down the field and extending the play. And he can run a little bit too, obviously, and make some plays with his feet. But it's the plays he makes when he extends it but stays back, eyes down the field, and makes the throw. That's what's killed the 49ers in the past. And I'm wondering if the 49ers finally, with that edge rush that they've added this year, D Ford coming off one side, Nick Bosa, slam dunk at this point in the season, defensive rookie of the year on the other end. Of course, you still have Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner getting after the quarterback. I wonder if it might be a new era of 49ers versus Seahawks where the 49ers are finally able to really make life difficult for Russell Wilson.
You have to look at the offensive line versus defensive line as the main matchup in this game, simply because we look at the past. The Seahawks have had such bad offensive lines, and I don't think the group they have right now is elite by any means, but they've been solid. They've done a nice job protecting Russell Wilson, especially against Tampa Bay Sunday. They had a couple possessions where things kind of went awry a little bit. They gave up 3 sacks, but the rest of the game against a very blitz-happy Buccaneers defense that has had quite a few sacks this year, they did a great job protecting him. And going off what you said about trying to prevent Russell Wilson from getting outside, escaping the pocket, I think the biggest improvement that he has made from his previous 7 seasons to this year is that he's not trying to do too much. There were so many times early in his career, and sometimes he would make it work, but he would try to pull his Houdini axe out there, and he would be rolling to his right, then rolling to his left, rolling to his right. Now he's 50 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And there were times he would make plays, and he'd be like, he's amazing. But then there were also times he took sacks or he fumbled, and suddenly the Seahawks are in a really bad spot. He has almost completely eliminated that from his game. He had 1 sack last weekend where he was rolling around a little bit and ended up losing big yardage. But he's doing a much better job of moving up into the pocket rather than trying to always run outside of it. And it's made it a little bit tougher for defenses to be able to corral him. And I think that's just the maturity of him as a passer. And he's always been an underrated pocket passer to go with that. So I really think that is the biggest improvement for him is the pocket awareness. He's not making those crazy mistakes that he's made in the past where sometimes he was, too confident in his athletic ability to be able to evade pass rushers. Now at 30 years old, 8th year in the league, much more disciplined with that, and the results are paying off in the passing game. That's why he's got 22 touchdowns and just 1 interception this year.
Just that escape route out of the back door, man. It's maddening watching the 49ers in the past trying to get after him. And you think he's down. You think you're going to sack Russell Wilson, and he just whoop right out the back door every single time. And I've seen it a million times, and even if you watch it on tape for defensive linemen, I'm sure that's frustrating knowing that he can do it, but you think you've got him, and nope, he escapes right out the back door again. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. I think I'm most worried, and of course, you're always going to be worried when a team like the Seahawks has that much firepower with those wide receivers they have now. Tyler Lockett going crazy. I talked about on Locked On NFL show today with Matt Williamson some interesting statistics I've seen with Tyler Lockett being basically one of the top, if not the top statistic per target wide receivers in the NFL since 2015, yet he was 117th in the league being targeted double-digit times. And so basically, at this point, what I'm saying here is that he started getting the targets, and the production is not at all surprised with what he's done, and he just continues to get open and make plays, and is really reliable with his hands, and so that's going to be frustrating. So it's the middle of the field, I think, that I'm worried about for the 49ers on defense, because they've been so good against the pass, and they've been really strong up front, getting after quarterbacks, rock solid in the secondary so far. If they are able to corral Russell Wilson and don't let him extend plays and let guys run free deep behind the secondary, it's that run game. It's missing Quan Alexander now adds to that. They've had some troubles a few weeks here and there against the run. It hasn't hurt them because they haven't had to play from behind much. And so teams haven't been able to just lean on the 49ers and run the ball on them because they have to try to come back. And it's a difficult team to come back against because of that pass rush. But middle of the field is what I'm worried about a little bit. Chris Carson, the running game, and then Tyler Lockett being a water bug and getting open over the middle, catch and run situations. What have you seen from the Seahawks run game, and how do you think they'll attack the 49ers there?
So before I get to the run game, just kind of elaborating on what you said on Tyler Lockett, he has been ridiculous, just like Pete Carroll said this year. The efficiency the last 2 years between those two, I certainly think he belongs in the discussion as one of the top five receivers in the league when you consider the lack of targets compared to some of the other big-name receivers, and yet this year his numbers – receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns stack up favorably against all those big names like your DeAndre Hopkins out there, Julio Jones, players like that. He stacks up favorably in an offense that loves to run the football as much as anybody, and they did open up the skies against the Buccaneers. I think part of it's because Tampa Bay's pass defense is so atrocious and their run defense is the best in the NFL. I look at this game. Obviously, the 49ers have a ton of talent on that front line. They really concern me with that pass rush. The fact that they've created pressures on 31.8% of dropbacks by opposing quarterbacks, that is certainly something that is alarming going into this football game. Adding the fact they've got Richard Sherman on the outside, obviously, Seahawk fans are very familiar with Richard Sherman and the season that he is having in 2019. Him on Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, that's going to be a real issue for the Seahawks passing game, trying to be able to throw the football. It's a lot different than last year. So I do think the run game is going to be extremely important. Watching that game on Thursday night, the fact that Arizona was able to run the ball the way they did, I think that's the best way to slow down this 49ers pass rush. And I think the Seahawks are much better equipped than the Cardinals are to be able to go up and bully the 49ers a little bit with that run game. And that's not saying go out and do run pass every single possession. I don't anticipate that's what they're going to do, but I definitely think they're going to lean more on the ground game this weekend, especially in a road game, than they did against Tampa Bay. You got to go by matchups here. This is not a team, San Francisco, that you want to go out and throw the football seven of your first eight plays, or Russell Wilson's going to get killed out there with the weapons that the 49ers have in that defensive line, especially the injuries that the Seahawks have up front. Justin Britt being out, I talked about Joey Hunt playing well, but he's still going to have to go against potentially DeForest Buckner as well as Eric Armstead. And both those guys are really athletic, pass-rushing interior guys that can really wreak havoc. So you add in the fact Bosa and Dee Ford are on the outside, just the guys they got coming after the quarterback, you just can't be one-dimensional in this football game. And I do think that the way to beat this 49ers team is getting Chris Carson rolling, Rashad Penny involved in the game as well, get some runs to the outside mixed in there. I think they've got the personnel to be able to do that and come in and be able to impose a little bit of their will on the 49ers defense. But same token, if they're not able to do that, it's really going to put Russell Wilson in a bad spot against that pass rush.
Right. And I would add not only run early, but be able to keep an early lead. So that way that you can continue to run the game late in the game, because teams that even were able to run the ball late against the Panthers, it was wild to watch them continue to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey, because that's the only thing they could do on offense, because every time Kyle Allen dropped back, he was getting killed. And we saw it in week one, which is maybe the most worrisome thing right now about the 49ers missing Quan Alexander. Week one is when we saw Quan Alexander get kicked out of the game. And so in the second half, it was Dre Greenlaw who's going to be in there, and we're going to see a very similar situation. And Ronald Jones ran wild on the 49ers in the third and fourth quarters of that football game in week one. The 49ers had such a big lead, but again, they were pressuring Jameis Winston. He was throwing interceptions, so they just kept running the ball, even though they were behind. And it's like, you can't come back and win, and you can't hit big plays when you're down two or three scores and continue to run the ball, but it's the only thing that was working for those teams. So very similar game plans there and game scripts that happened in week one and then week seven against the Panthers. So the key there is you have to get a lead on the 49ers. That way that run game can help you win the game, because it doesn't help you to run late if you're down two scores. And real quick, before we move on to the 49ers offense and the Seattle defense, I found that exact stat I was talking about. This is from Scott Barrett on Twitter. Since entering the league in 2015, Tyler Lockett ranks first in all-purpose yards, 11th among wide receivers in touchdowns, first in passer rating when targeted, ranks first in fantasy points per target, but ranks 117th in games with double-digit targets.
Yeah, this is, again, Pete Carroll said ridiculous. That's exactly what he is. It's the most efficient receiver in the NFL. He and Wilson posted a perfect passer rating last year, 153.8, which is unheard of. I don't think that had been tracked in any quarterback receiver tandem since Pro Football Focus came into existence. So it's a really impressive accomplishment. And I'm just really curious, real quick, how do you think that the 49ers are going to try to defend that, especially if Josh Gordon is able to play in this game and he plays a fair amount of snaps? If they've got him and DK Metcalf and Lockett on the field at the same time, what do you do? Because all those guys can take the top off the defense. DK is a better route runner than advertised. Lockett, as you just mentioned, all the statistics, is a phenomenal talent and can do things from the outside and the slot. And Gordon's kind of that wild card. You don't know what you're going to get from him in this game.
I think when it comes to both Lockett and DK Metcalf, depending on who Richard Sherman is lining up over, I think he's going to do that thing where he plays way off and he's going to give you the back shoulder thing. He's going to give you the comebacks all day long. So I would expect comeback against Richard Sherman, then try to hit that deep post and catch him sleeping. That's what I expect there. But again, it's the middle of the field, the catch and run stuff. Kawan Williams, if he's got to cover either the big guy in the slot in Josh Gordon, or if he's got to cover Tyler Lockett, I think those are the things that might give the 49ers fits. And really, every game so far when it's come to defending the pass, it's been who cares, because we've got down and distance on you and we've got the score in our favor and we're coming after your quarterback, and every single quarterback has wilted under that so far that the 49ers have faced. So that makes this the toughest challenge by far, because of the talent on the outside and who the quarterback is that they're going to be going after.
And I'll throw another name in there for you to worry about potentially in this game, a guy that really hadn't done anything up till last week, but Jacob Hollister is a really athletic tight end that can run routes out of the slot. He's kind of that move joker tight end, a much different player than Will Disley. Not really going to be an inline blocker. He tries, but he's 245 pounds. He's much more of a move tight end that really he's a really smooth route runner. Had two touchdowns this last weekend against the Buccaneers. He's another guy in the middle of the field that could be somebody to worry about a little bit here.
So should people who lost Will Disley pick up Hollister in their fantasy leagues?
I would consider it if you're really hurting at tight end. I would not be, you know, if you've got a decent tight end, I wouldn't make that risk just because he was on the practice squad the first 5 weeks of the season. But he's a really natural route runner, and he showed some potential when he was with the Patriots. He obviously had something called a Gronk in front of him, and some injuries to him himself prevented him from getting on the field as well. But he's certainly shown some upside. He was a big-time talent at Wyoming coming into the draft. So this is a guy that can make some plays in the passing game that could be a guy that's a little bit of an X factor this weekend.
All right, we've got to talk a little bit about 49ers offense against the Seattle defense. And, of course, we've got to make our predictions coming up. Okay, we don't have a lot of time here, but we have to touch on what the 49ers offense versus Seattle's defense is going to look like. And I think the more interesting battle is on the other side. I think right now, with what I've seen from Seattle's defense, and they still have Bobby Wagner, and there's still some name value there, and Jadeveon Clowney's still a handful for anybody, even though if you look at the sack numbers, they're not quite there. But I think the 49ers have a really good opportunity to, even if defensively they're not able to dominate as they have in the first eight games this year, at least keep pace on the offensive side of the ball. And it was nice to see Jimmy Garoppolo have that breakout last week and his best performance of the season. But it's that run game that really, you know, you get the play action coming off the run. The 49ers have gouged teams earlier in the year. Now they're going to get Staley, McGlinchey, Kyle Juszczyk all back. So that's what it comes down to. 49ers setting the tone with the run game, getting a good down and distance, play action off of that. That's what I'm excited to see, if the 49ers can get that going. And with the way the secondary has been playing for the Seahawks so far this year, Emmanuel Sanders added to the equation. I like that matchup for the 49ers. What do you see there?
Oh, there's a lot of concerns. I could talk for an hour about things that concern me going into this football game from the Seahawks standpoint, because as much talent as they have on that front line, they have not been able to get their pass rush going. And Clowney has played extremely well. I think the numbers are misleading there. He's had a lot of opportunities, been really close to getting to the quarterback, and he's been an outstanding run defender. That's going to be big this week, because the running backs for the 49ers certainly concern me. Breida, Mostert, Coleman. Getting Juszczyk back is going to be a really big deal for their offense. And Kyle Shanahan does such a good job scheming the run game to get to those play action opportunities that obviously Pete Carroll was talking about at his press conference yesterday. That is something that immediately jumps out to him when he's game planning for this team, is we got to get that run game stopped and, you know, try to neutralize that play action passing game. But if they're not able to stop the run game, this has a chance to be a game that gets away from them. Just because the secondary is so young, they've got some guys that have shown some upside. I really like Marquise Blair, the rookie out of Utah, but he still only has 3 starts under his belt, and he's going to make some brain farts out there occasionally because of his lack of experience. He's shown he's a big hitter. He'll make plays on the football. He's just kind of raw out there being a rookie. Bradley McDougal's a very disciplined player, but not the greatest of athletes playing strong safety. I guess to me, looking at this matchup, stopping the run is important. We'll have to see what George Kittle looks like the rest of this week. I don't believe he practiced for the 49ers today, but he's coming off that knee injury he suffered Thursday night. If he's able to play in this football game, I'm just really curious what the heck the Seahawks are going to try to do to defend him, because they actually did okay against him the last time these two teams played. The end of last year, they had Lano Hill playing against him. Lano Hill has been out the last couple weeks. He did return to practice before Sunday's game in a limited fashion. So maybe he's back this game and they'll try to mix him in. Maybe they put McDougald on him. Putting a linebacker, they've been running so much base defense with 3 linebackers out there this year. I think that's asking for a lot of trouble if you end up with Michael Kendricks or KJ Wright defending George Kittle in coverage. That's quite a flawed plan.
Right. No, that's a great call. And George Kittle, I think there's, you know, it's precautionary. They're probably going to hold him out and he'll be limited all week and maybe get one full practice in before Monday is my guess is how it's going to go. I don't think there's any worry right now at this point, unless there's setbacks, that George Kittle's not going to go Monday night. I was looking at the MyBookie line immediately following this weekend's games, and the 49ers were favored by 6.5. And I thought, I figured at home, the 49ers, you know, perfect record would be favored. But I thought 6.5 was kind of high. It's already fallen a little bit, 0.5 point. Now 49ers favored by 6. And if you want to bet on the 49ers in this game, maybe you want to wait until close to game time, because I think it might drop even another 0.5 point or so. But I still do like the 49ers here. And we have not much time, maybe 1 minute here to make our predictions. I'm just going to say I like the 49ers matchup enough that I think at home they can win this football game. I think it might be a little bit higher scoring than we've seen from 49ers Seahawks in a while. I'm going to go 31-27 49ers. Even if Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense is able to get things going against the 49ers defense that's been one of the best in the league this season, I think the 49ers offense can keep pace and they can win it. Maybe not by the 6 that the line is set at, but maybe by, you know, 4 points or so. 31-27 is what I got.
You know what? I had the same exact score down in my notes here, except I've got it flipped. And I have been really torn on this game, because obviously the 49ers have been outstanding, the last undefeated team standing here. I don't know what it is about this Seahawks. Maybe they will buck the trend and they will come out flat, but they have played so well in primetime games with Pete Carroll at the helm, and they've played fairly well in San Francisco, especially when they've been playing in night games. And I just have a feeling this is going to be a back and forth affair. I think it's going to be a lot more offensive than some of their previous matchups have been, just because partially that's who the Seahawks are now. This is an offensive geared team. This is not 2013, 2014, even 2015. This is not a team built around the defense where Russell Wilson's going to make some play, enough plays with that defense to win games. This is Russell Wilson's team now, and they're built around that passing game and a strong running game on offense. So I anticipate this being a game the Seahawks are going to be able to run the ball on the 49ers. I do think that's an area that they can move the, football. They can take some pressure off Russell Wilson, and I think Russell Wilson has proven this year, even against really good pass rushes, they've played a few really good pass rushes this year, he's proven that he's able to move the pocket well enough, and he isn't making those mistakes. I talked about this earlier. He's not making those mistakes where he's trying to do too much and evade pass rushers when he's not able to do so. I think that's going to pay off in this football game. The 49ers are going to be able to put points on the board. Their run game worries the heck out of me with all the backs they've got and Shanahan scheming things up. But I still would put Russell Wilson ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think that is the difference in this game. Both offenses are humming. I think Russell Wilson makes a few more throws than Jimmy Garoppolo does, goes down to the wire, and Seahawks win 31-27.
You know, I think seeing both quarterbacks coming off their best games of the year last week just makes this a lot more fun for the fans to anticipate and watch this game. And I know one thing, no matter what the final score is, the Seahawks and Russell Wilson aren't going to be eating turkey at the Levi's Stadium 50-yard line this time.
For 49ers fans, that's going to be a sigh of relief no matter what happens. Yeah, you're 100% right in that. I think it's just great to see both these teams. It's been quite a long time since both teams were good at the same time. You have to really go back to 2014, the last time both these teams were good. Obviously, the Seahawks made the playoffs last year, and they made it a couple times where the 49ers were out. It's been a really dry spell for the 49ers, and now the rivalry has a chance to really get heated back up, and that's good not just for both these teams. That's great for the NFL.
Hey, and the NFC is tough. You want to win this division and make sure you're in the playoffs, because there's going to be a team with 10 or 11
you
wins.
Home field advantage. Although the Seahawks have been better on the road, I guess that's another reason I made the prediction that I did. They've lost both their games at home.
It's so weird. It's a bizarro season right now for the Seahawks. That is Corbin Smith. You can find him on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can find the Locked On Seahawks handle at @Locked_Seahawks. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Corbin, that was a great Wednesday crossover. Always love talking to the opposing hosts, and this was a particularly fun one. So thanks for joining me here.
Absolutely. It's going to be a blast. Looking forward to this game.